Hour 3, Triple Option with RBKD, about an hour and 15 to go. It's Country Music Friday. I hear country music. A lot of times I think of college baseball. I want some good country music playing before, during, and after the game, obviously during some of the breaks. So hopefully if you're getting out there, you're going to be ready for some overcast weather, but we should be good to go starting at 6:30. David Pierce, a little different than Augie in terms of getting these games in. He wants to get these games in. Augie wanted to get him in, but Augie at this point all day may have, would have already texted and been like, hey, man, this probably isn't going to happen tonight. So I think this one will.
Was it his call?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
I mean, I was literally in the booth and texted down to him. No one knew in a couple of those games. And he'd text back and be like, yeah, I'm going to call this in 5 or 10 minutes.
How about that?
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's when you know you're good.
Yeah.
That's when you know you're a legend.
Yeah. Yep. Prodigious clout.
Speaking of baseball, if you're into pro baseball, we got a Rangers ticket giveaway, and this is going to be going on until 7 o'clock. So we're going to be off at 6:15, but until 7 o'clock, so do it right now if you want to. Text Baseball Saturday or Baseball Sunday to 512-451-5653. That's 512-451-5653, and you're going to have a chance to win Rangers-Orioles tickets this weekend. So Baseball Saturday or Baseball Sunday, and go check out the Rangers. And I'm not going to say anything about who the Orioles are throwing, because who they're pitching, because it'll probably end up in a no-hitter.
I was about to say, we gave away a pair of Rangers tickets to the no-hitter that Joe Musgrove threw against the Texas Rangers last Friday. So definitely want to get in on this competition, on this little giveaway, free to enter. Baseball Saturday, if you're looking for the Saturday tickets. Baseball Sunday, if you're looking for the Sunday tickets.
That should be self-explainable, but I didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So two more no-hitters coming your way this weekend against the Texas Rangers. I think that's how it works, right? All right, gentlemen, let's get back into some Texas football conversation. We spent a lot of our first segment of the show talking about the quarterback drama. The Denzel Okafor quote from his player availability on Wednesday, where he kind of hinted towards Casey Thompson getting the majority of first-team reps at quarterback, while saying Hudson Card is just rotating in every now and then. Some drama there. There's been some conflicting reports. Now you've got some insiders saying, no, it actually is a 50-50 split. We don't exactly know what's going on there, but some drama without question at the QB position at UT. What about the running back position, gentlemen? Not a lot of drama there. We know who the bell cow of this backfield is going to be. That's Bijan Robinson. Chip Brown put out a great piece on Horns 24/7 earlier today. And to the surprise of nobody, nothing but praise for number 5. The coaches absolutely love him. He's the focal point of this offense. Mm-hmm. No surprises there. And apparently, the thing the coaches like most about Bijan, In addition to his ridiculous talent and versatility,
I'd start there, and I'd be second in 3. But what's 4?
Oh, he's smart and humble, and he is digesting the offense and learning the offense really well. So he's not one of those kids that knows he's the best. He knows he's the most talented cat. So I don't have to work that much because I'm already going to be good. He apparently is putting in the work and has a really, really good attitude about spring ball as well.
Wouldn't we have found that out last year if he was like that? Because he would have had every right to not say it. But he went over the top, Rod, and saying, no, I get it. The coaches are the coaches. Keontae's a damn good back. Roshan's a damn good back. I'll take the carries I get.
I totally agree. I totally agree with KD. No. That's exactly where I was going. I'm with you. I think something would have come out. Something would have been reported, leaked out that he was unhappy.
Yes.
And everybody would have been like, you're damn right. He's unhappy, and you have every right to be unhappy, young man. But none of that ever happened. He seemed like his attitude was always team first. I don't even think he has a social media account.
Oh, God bless him.
Does he have so? I don't think he does.
Has an Instagram.
Maybe I don't know Twitter.
Okay,
maybe.
If he only has one.
Okay, maybe Twitter is, because I don't see, because usually I've seen, you know, players who are very popular players, I'll see their Twitter handle scroll across my feed every now and then. I don't follow a lot of the players, but I'll see people I do follow, they'll retweet them and stuff like that, and I'll see it. I don't think I've ever seen a Bijan tweet. So if he does have a Twitter account, he's like Kawhi Leonard on that thing.
Right.
It's like every couple of years he'll tweet something as a favor to a friend.
Bored, man.
But get to your point, KD, like you said, he's all about business. And getting to BK's point, there are things in the intangibles you can fall in love with him as a player just as much as you can fall in love with the tangibles and the measurables and the things you can see.
My niece has a boyfriend, but I would love to set this up. If this kid doesn't have any social media accounts, he needs to be part of the
family. Does he have Instagram?
Yeah.
Okay, but not on Twitter.
He's got 71,000 followers on Instagram.
Okay.
Saying he doesn't deserve it, right. But he's got a brand on social media.
Okay, there you go.
So right. Not quite.
Does he have a Twitter account, though? Does he just not have Twitter?
Here you guys go.
Well, I don't
asking
know.
Asking me questions
you,
again.
I thought you're,
who's hitting seven
you're young,
for the Orioles
you're the
tonight?
Youngster. You're the kid who keeps up with social media.
Yes. He's your situational
lefty.
He does
have a Twitter?
He does have a Twitter account, so but only 16 tweets. So he's not very
active.
Yeah,
he's
that
not
gets
active.
Back to
that's
your
what,
point.
That was kind of my point. Yeah, he's not active on that.
There
on
you
that
go.
And he may not be that active on Insty. But he's got 71,000, though, so he's probably doing something.
He's doing something on that thing.
Insty.
Yeah.
That's what the old people call it.
Mm-hmm.
No one calls it that. I don't think any old people call it
no.
that. I think that's
I've
a
heard,
KD
I've
original.
Heard Insta, I've used it before because I've heard Insta and the Gram. I think my niece calls it that.
The Insty.
I've heard of those two. I haven't heard of Insty.
Well, I'm starting something new.
So Bijan, a stud, the focal point of this offense, contagious, infectious personality. Everyone is feeding off of that, according to Chip Brown's report. What about Rojo, guys? Well, Rojo was able to get a ton of reps early in spring ball while Bijan was out early dealing with the COVID pause that the Texas football team was dealing with. And by all accounts, Rojo just continues to get better and more comfortable at running back. And we've talked about it, Rod. Every time somebody asks Steve Sarkisian about Bijan, Sark brings up Rojo.
He does.
Like, he talks about Bijan, but then he's like, but also Rojo's really good too. Mm-hmm. And we love what Rojo's doing, and we love his work ethic and his attitude. It seems like Rojo is gaining more and more confidence with every single practice, and he's going to be a contributor to this football team, no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, he's forcing his way on the field. Mm-hmm. He's demanding reps, and it is. The fact that Sark brings him up unsolicited, just, oh, yeah, Bijan's awesome, but you got – of course Bijan's awesome, but of course you got to see what Rojo's doing, too. He's a great contributor to what we're doing. He's got a great attitude. So I think ultimately whether it's be in a two-back set, 21 personnel or 20 personnel, or whether it's just – finding a way to spell Bijan and give him some rest every now and then with Rojo, I think Rojo's going to get out there and he's going to get some valuable reps. I think you're going to see both of them on the field together because you can't take Bijan off the field. You can't justify that.
Yeah, except for the blows you're talking about.
Yeah, except to rest, give him rest. And I know he's human, but even with that being said, I mean, that guy needs to be on the field as much as possible, and you don't want to have to take him off the field unless he is absolutely exhausted. I think what solves the problem, or what is more the remedy to getting Bijan all the reps that he needs and the Rojo reps that he is deserving of, is to put both of those guys on the field at the same time in a two-back set at times. Not consistently. I don't want it to be
but at
the
times.
Yeah, I
but
don't want it to be the
four
entire
times
offense
like last year.
Yeah, but I think, you know, maybe 10, 15 reps a game should be with two backs in the backfield.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. And a lot of the focus will be on Bijan. I think it's going to open up stuff for Roshan.
No,
I think their skill sets are different enough. Bijan can do a lot, but Roshan can be a guy really between the tackles. You know, he gets his pad level to a really good spot. I was talking with a running back coach, a former running back coach, who's now just a coach, an offensive coordinator, about this. Like, his pad level For a guy who came as a quarterback, a lot of the fundamental stuff that he does and did very early on is really surprising.
Yeah.
You got to give Drayton some credit, but give him some credit too, because he adapted to that. You would think he's been a running back and a physical runner for a majority of his life. I know he was a running quarterback, but BK, we're trying to figure out who the QB1 is. We know who RB1 is. The question is, how much is RB2 on the field with him?
Yep.
Rojo looked so natural playing the running back
he
position.
Did. High and tight.
Even 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? When he just transitioned from QB to running back before the start of the season. I mean, he looked like he had been playing it for years. And guys, I remember on the old midday show, I said a number of times in 2019, I thought Rojo was the best running back on the football team.
Yeah.
I thought he was better than Keonta Ingram.
You were right for a little while.
Grew up a running back, a highly touted four-star running back player at UT, a guy who had been playing the position for his whole life. I thought Rojo at times looked more comfortable and looked more natural than Keonta Ingram did. Now, I'm not making that same claim against Bijan, right? Bijan's clearly the number one guy on this football team, but Rojo's only gotten better since then. And, Rod, I think you laid it out perfectly. He is forcing his way onto the football field. He's too much of a talent, too much of a high-energy, high-character guy to leave him on the sideline. I think he's going to be a big part of this offense this season. What about this name?
Hey, quickly, I think some of that's going to depend, too, if these receivers actually step up and if they get healthy. And if you get to more three wide receiver sets, or Sark wants to go, hey, we're going to go bunch and go 10 personnel, right, and have four wide receivers out there. Mm-hmm. Or if it's, instead of those 15 or 20 reps that Rob was talking about, we're going to have more 21 or 22 personnel.
Yeah, and I think Jordan Whittington will play a big role in that, too, depending on if he wants to use him in some of that backfield action. To your point, though, to put a bow on the Rojo discussion, to BK's point, that he probably was the best running back when BK was championing him as the best running back, even when he first transitioned there. He was elected to be the representative of the running back room on the leadership council last season, over Keontae Ingram, who had been in that room longer, and he had just transitioned there. So he's got a lot of those intangibles they also love about Bijan. A lot of good leadership, a lot of good football character in that running back room right now.
No doubt about that. And to your point, KD, look, if Steve Sarkisian had the 2019 Alabama wide receiver room here at Texas, I wouldn't be making the claim that Rojo is going to be a huge part of this offense.
Totally get it.
So I think you're dead on. I think the lack of weapons that Texas has right now at wide receiver and tight end might lead to more of that playing time for Rojo.
Lay out the best 11 and then decide, how can I get these guys on the field? I'm talking about skill positions, best 11. How can I get these guys on the field as much as possible? Rojo's going to be in that best 11.
Agreed.
Yeah, no.
Right now, he's going to be
Smith,
there.
Waddle, Judy, and those cats. We wouldn't be talking about Roshan as much.
We're going four wide. Four wide. Ten
so how do we have Bijan? What do we do with Bijan with that four wide?
How about this?
They got to still run.
He would be a great
running back. Yeah, and a 10 personnel.
10 personnel all day, every day. Dude, I could play quarterback, and we'd be 12-0 with those players. How about this, though, from Chip Brown? He says, quote, the running back to keep an eye on as a potential impact guy is Daniel Young. I'm told Young, who always had a great attitude and did whatever he was asked, really shined while Robinson was out, and now Sarkisian is looking for ways to use Young in certain situations.
So did Jeff Howe write that, and he's just putting it under Chip's name now?
Seriously, because Jeff Howe.
God, we love Jeff Howe.
He's the president of the Danny Young fan club.
I'm a fan.
He's been on there for a while.
He has.
And you know what? If Danny Young makes a comeback, you're right. Jeff Howe deserves to pat himself on the back, because he's been keeping that alive.
But he can help out.
So are we talking
about
fullback here? Or are we talking about tailback?
We don't get full explanation.
So basically, my two back set theory is happening. Then, if he's this excited about all these running backs,
right?
Is he just this? Now I'm interested to see if KD may be onto something. Is he this excited about the running backs, or the wide receivers just that bad? Or he's got to focus all of his attention on running back. He's like, I don't even want to look at them wideouts right now. Let's focus on these running backs. They're pretty good.
You want to see Wishbone? We're bringing Wishbone back. Hey Sark, we're glad you're adapting to Texas culture and assimilating, but we don't need to do that.
Yeah. We don't need to pay homage to DKR.
Yeah,
it's
not too much.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah, speaking of the wide receivers, by the way, Daniel Young, a fifth-year running back, he opted out of the 2020 season due to COVID-19 concerns. He has played in 35 career games at Texas, 5 starts during his Texas tenure, got here in 2017. So maybe he'll get some run with his Texas team this fall. Apparently he's been pretty impressive in spring ball to this point. What about wide receivers, though, gentlemen? To the surprise of nobody, the two standouts in spring practice have been Jordan Whittington and Troy O'Meary. And it's extra impressive that Troy O'Meary is standing out because, well, he's not even taking part in contact situations just yet. He's been limited in practice, yet he is still standing out more than anybody not named Jordan Whittington.
What does that say about the room?
So I guess the theory's right then, KD, that the wide receivers are just that bad. The running backs are still really good, but the wide receivers have just been unimpressive.
Yeah. He certainly doesn't have any answers right now.
Well, keep in mind, Jake Smith is out.
Exactly. Jake Smith is out.
He's been out since
Josh
the very
Moore
first
had
practice.
Some injury issues early on.
Josh Moore had some illness issues. Non-COVID-related illnesses. Chip does mention Joshua Moore is starting to come on as of late, so seems like he's finding his sea legs a little bit.
Probably playing in the slot, but I'm hearing too.
That's good.
Natural.
That's where he belongs.
He's been doing some curls for the girls.
He needs some
tries for the guys. I don't know what he's into, but he needs to get some
squats
weight on.
Squats for the thoughts, curls for the girls. Either
squats
one, Josh.
Squats for the thoughts. That's new age right there.
Amen.
Nobody who says insty says squats for the thoughts. I can tell you that. But guys, we've talked about it a lot, and we're not alone. Apparently the coaches are pushing for more out of the other guys, the Marcus Washingtons, the Galvante Dixons, the Alvante Woodards. The coaches are trying to get those guys up to speed, but KD, apparently it's just not quite happening yet, and these coaches aren't able to rely on those guys to be consistent day in and day out.
Yeah, I mean, Marcus Washington, Alvante Woodard, there's still some talent here, Rod. I'm looking at your Houston, DB High guy over there, and physically some of these guys have really looked the part. What I was hoping is that Andre Coleman, even though he's being retained with the Sark offense, and actually being able to get his hands on them this spring, which he didn't last year, that we would start to hear some stuff. You know what? These guys are learning technique. They've maybe gotten stronger. They've gotten smarter. And also with Sark's offense, they're just getting a freer release. I haven't necessarily heard that. And I think it's a little troubling right now if you're 2 weeks in.
Guys, weren't we talking about these same exact things last season about the wide receiver position?
Yep.
And we were fooled. There was this fugazi of a start to the season where the wide receivers actually performed really well against
first play
UTEP.
Of the game.
UTEP, exactly. UTEP and Texas Tech. And then as the season began to go on and as it progressed, we learned that the wide receivers were indeed a liability and they were not going to be a strength. And I think that actually materialized as the season progressed. I think this year we're in the same position where we're dealing with unproven commodities at the wide receiver position. And I don't really know how it's going to work out. I think there is some trust, or at least there should be confidence, that you should have trust in Bijan Robinson in the running game, because I think that's going to be a plus, that's going to be a strength, that's going to be the identity. I'm worried about how they supplement the passing game without wide receivers who can create on their own. I know Sark's scheme is going to help, you know, with his cheat codes. He's going to inundate the defense with cheat codes, and he's going to be able to scheme guys open. But I mean, let's be honest, he doesn't have Devontae Smith and Henry Ruggs and Jerry Jeudy and Jalen Waddle here,
right. Okay?
I love Jordan Whittington. I love Jake Smith. Love Atroa Miri. They're not those guys. They're not first-round wide receivers in the NFL. So you scheming them open is going to look a whole lot different here scheming Texas wide receivers open.
No doubt. They may
not be as open.
Yeah.
And Mac Jones
may take more scheming.
Exactly. And your quarterback may not be able to hit him on the money like Mac Jones did. All those little bit of instances of, you know, the overcorrections, or, you know, that scheme catching up with them, or the lack of that type of high level talent you had at Bama, you know, that could make Sark's scheme seem a bit more rudimentary than it did at Bama. Bama looked like Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like, good Lord, what the hell is going on? This is unbelievable. Sean McVay, eat your heart out, man. This guy's the king. And then now it's like, well, why can't he get anybody open? Because you don't have five stars running
Sean
everywhere.
McVay's dealing with a salary cap.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you ain't got Nick
Sarkisian wasn't.
And you ain't got Nick Saban in the background motivating guys. It's just a different month. So I am worried about the passing game. I'll say that straight up. With a new quarterback, offensive line issues and pass protection, and wide receivers at unproven commodities, I think I'm worried about the passing game officially.
This conversation makes me want to drink.
Me too.
Friday is here.
That is true.
What are you drinking this weekend, man?
I'm going to be drinking some Bud Light. Yeah, I could use a little Bud Light right now. But no worries, because in about an hour, we'll be done with the show, and I'll be enjoying a nice ice cold Bud Light. Everybody knows Austin is a great town to have a good time. Things are starting to open up a little bit, so you can make sure that your good times are accompanied by the sure sign of a good time. That's Bud Light. It's the perfect beer for all occasions, especially those sporting occasions. And this weekend, you're going to have the Austin FC kicking off their inaugural season versus the LAFC. So make sure you're cheering on the Austin FC. Also, our friends out at the Cedar Park Center, out there at HEB Center in Cedar Park, they are starting up Texas Stars once again later this month, too. So as things get back going, make sure you get out there and enjoy yourself, and make sure you enjoy with the world's number one selling light beer, Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. And if you want to turn those good times into great times, hey, just make sure you break out the Bud Light. You also can have Bud Light delivered right to your door when you order with Drizzly. Otherwise, just stop by your local convenience store, stop by your local grocery store, and pick up a nice ice cold case of Bud Light. Bud Light is my choice, should be yours too. All year round, Bud Light is America's beer of choice. Bud Light, the world's number one selling light beer.
Man, delivery beer is a game changer.
Yeah,
delivery
it really
is.
Is
a game changer.
Wow.
What are we ranting
about
today?
Ask Jeff Bezos about it.
Oh, man.
You know what? I want to talk about the great city of Austin. Speaking of the city of Austin, it is growing. It is becoming a hot real estate market for a lot of reasons. I want to go over what's transpiring here in the great state of Texas, specifically right here in Central Texas, and why the Austin real estate market is starting to blow up. We'll talk about that a little bit more in Rod's Rant of the Day right here on the Triple Option with RBKD, right here on 104.9, 101.9, and AM 1260.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real.
My God! Okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
Oh, you've done it now. It's time for Rod's Rant of the Day.
Hold on to your butts.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. Time for Rod's Rant of the Day. And, you know, it's usually I'm doing sports-related stuff, but every now and then we get off of sports and we have to do something that is more topical or off the beaten path, if you will.
Like my one and done.
Pop culture relevant, like your one and done. Well, this one is about our great city here in Austin. You'll hear me actually, you know, endorsing Open Door, and I'll talk about the Austin real estate market every now and then. So I do research, you know, just reading different articles, and I came across a great article. I'll make sure I give them credit. I think it's the Austin Business Journal. Great article about the Austin real estate market. And it blew my mind, so I thought, man, maybe it'll blow somebody else's mind because I think it's fascinating about how fast the Austin real estate market is just blowing up. I mean, it's just skyrocketing. So you'll hear me drop this nugget every now and then from the Austin Board of Realtors that this median sales price of a home in Austin right now is $455,000, right? That was earlier this year. And it sounds crazy, but
growing up here like that, I can't tell you how crazy it is.
22% year-over-year increase from 2020.
Whoa.
22% year-over-year increase for the median sales price of a home in Austin. Let that sink in for a second, all right?
What was I doing? I should have bought some.
Everybody's thinking that right now. Everybody and their mom is like, why the hell didn't I buy on the east side?
So
why the hell
didn't
I buy something?
Yes.
Just something. Just a shack. Just a piece of, you know, it's just a piece of land somewhere. Didn't matter where it was, and we all be better off. But I digress. Trust me, you ain't the only one. Everybody is having that sinking feeling. But here it is. So that just blew my mind. So I did some more deep diving. And there are a lot of people that believe that, you know, this bubble is going to burst. Like, it's got to burst. Like, how can it keep up at this pace?
How long have we been told that?
Exactly. You know, because I try to listen to rich, really rich people because there's a reason they're really rich.
That's why you listen to me every day.
Yeah.
You're rich for other reasons.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Rich in talent.
Gives rich stories.
Yeah, exactly.
That was rich.
But Elon Musk was the second richest man in the world. And I might tend to agree with BK that, you know, in 20 years, he's probably going to be richest man in the history of the world. But him and Jeff Bezos are duking it out for richest man in the world. And if Jeff Bezos didn't get divorced and lose $40 billion, then technically, he'd have a much larger lead on Elon Musk. But I digress. But he is the founder of Tesla. He's the founder of, I forgot his boring company, what it's called, but SpaceX is his space company. He's got a ton of companies now. And he's moving all of them to Central Texas in Austin. He loves Austin. He has been on the record for saying, quote, Austin is going to be the biggest boom town America has seen in 50 years.
Damn.
Yeah, man, is he serious about this stuff? Or is that just hyperbole? Just dropping that kind of... I think he believes that genuinely.
Yeah. He put his money where his mouth is.
Yeah, he's moving his companies here to Central Texas.
And people believe everything that he says, too.
That,
and
too.
And people want to follow everything that Elon Musk does.
Yeah, the market reacts to his tweets.
Uh-huh.
When he tweets something, you go watch the Bitcoin market or the Dogecoin market. He'll just tweet something that has really... It's either nonsensical or has nothing to do with what he's talking about, or maybe it's just just a little colloquialism, whatever it is.
It's out of the blue, but it's impactful.
People will react to it.
Yes.
The market literally reacts. He's been warned by
SEC
by the SEC basically in the government. Like, hey man, just watch it. All right, don't just be tweeting stuff just to see people's reaction. Because some people believe that he is he's a little bit anarchist in him. That he kind of likes a little bit of chaos.
That's the part I like about him.
That's a lot of people like that about Elon Musk. But anyway, Elon Musk loves the city of Austin. He's part of the reason that the property values are skyrocketing here in Central Texas. He's not the only one because, and we've known this for years, but now you have more and more tech companies that are moving to the great city of Austin. At this point, I mean, Tesla, Amazon, Facebook, Apple, Google, Microsoft. I mean, Microsoft's been here for years, though. But every big-time company, basically, if you look at the S&P 500 and the top five... six companies, I guess, in the S&P 500, which are Amazon, I go in order, Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, Facebook, Tesla, and then Google, which is the Alphabet company. That's their parent company, which is essentially accounts for 23% of the S&P 500. Basically, 25% of our economy is those six
companies. That part of the economy,
No, essentially, like, that's kind of what they look at. That's
right.
Basically a large part of the economy. And a lot of those companies have decided they want to have a base in Austin. They want to have a base here in Austin. And because all these companies are moving to Austin, there are more jobs in Austin.
Yeah.
So when you talk about the bubble bursting, here's something I got from the Austin Business Journal. It's a great article. It's about the bubble
bursting.
And a lot
of the reason they're moving here is because of the way they were treated in their previous state, as a corporation.
That's a different discussion,
No
question. That's what Elon Musk, that's the main reason that he decides to move all his companies here. He just hates the government, the local government there in California. So supply and demand, everybody knows, supply and demand, right? That's the biggest factor in rising prices and values of the home market here in Austin. And usually, all right, 6 months of a housing supply is considered to have stable prices and stabilized market, right? So 6 months of a housing supply for people that are moving into your city. Austin, the last time they had 6 months of housing inventory available, 10 years ago, June of 2011.
Wow.
So in terms of supply and demand, I mean, that's why everything is skyrocketing. There is no, I mean, there's so much demand, there is very little supply. There's a great quote here, I'll make sure I get it right, from Kevin Burns, the CEO of Urban Space Real Estate and Interiors. He says, they sell as fast as they come on the market. It's never been like this. Vic O'Grady said basically that in Austin, homes are being sold without being listed on multiple listing services. Mm. People are just driving by people's houses and making offers.
Right.
People are just driving.
How real estate agents are separating themselves, because they're getting private showings. Or they're getting a look beforehand before it hits an MLS. If it hits an MLS, you're
done.
Yeah.
They said, and speaking of that, right now, this is according to Redfin, they've done a study of 47 metro areas, what they call the highest premium real estate markets in the country. They said Austin right now has the highest year-over-year percentage increase of homes being purchased over asking price.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, Austin homes are selling for 7% over asking price on average. That's just on average. But they go for much higher than that. I mean, there's one lister here says, nearly every offer my clients make faces competition, and most homes are going for more than 20% over asking price, says an Austin area Redfin agent, April Miller.
That's nuts. That's just crazy.
So, yeah, like a lot of these homes, the luxury homes are really, really nice. Like if Sark wanted a home, Sark probably didn't wait for it to go on the market. Sark had to just go to people's houses, and he didn't do it personally.
His real estate
agent.
Yeah.
But just offer people money. You got friends in Westlake.
Yep.
They get offers every day.
Oh, and there's some
all the time.
Here's the other thing,
you come knocking on their door saying, hey, how much you think this is worth? I'll give you $5 million for it. I know you said it's worth $3.5. I'll give you $5 million. I'm like, let me think about it.
And you're talking about finished products, Rod.
Yeah.
Some of these houses in Lost Creek have not been redone. And they were the same houses that I would have been hanging out with at friends in the 80s. And they weren't old then, but they were 10 or 15 years old. Now, you need a complete remodel, and they're still going for way over asking.
Yeah.
Not even hitting the market.
No.
Multiple bids. We just want the land.
Yeah, just want the land. People just want the land.
Lots.
People are just buying.
Yes.
People buying lots for six figures and bidding over. I'm talking about $50,000 over just for the lot.
Dude, somebody knocked on the front door of my apartment a couple of days ago. I thought it was like a Jehovah's Witness or something, but he's like, dude, I'll double what you're paying for rent.
Shut up. Get out of here.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
But actually, it's affecting the rent, too. Austin has one of the highest rents.
Yeah. And it's turned into a place where you would actually think about buying a condo or an apartment that if you're Michael Scott in Scranton, you probably shouldn't.
Yeah.
Like where even you'd go to that level.
I mean,
if you can buy in, usually you'd see that in Chicago downtown that someone buys an apartment because, look, the value is going to go up.
No question. I mean, that's
usually you don't do that, though.
Usually you don't do that, but it's some highly irregular stuff happening here. So, again, to the inventory thing, right? A healthy real estate market has about 6 months of inventory available for people who are coming into your town, who are moving into your town, so that you can have a healthy, kind of really a healthy balance in terms of values and keeping the prices stable. That's not happening in Austin right now. They say in different places where, say, the Apple campus where Apple is, or say, even where
Del Valley now, right?
Del Valley is where Tesla's going to be. But, you know, even where the Google and all these companies have moved, they say that in those places, there's less than 3 days of inventory, of housing inventory in specific places around Austin. So there's no inventory at all. And here's the reason they said the bubble is probably not going to burst. Usually a bubble is associated with a lot of speculation. People are coming in just speculating, yep, trying to make money. They say less than 10% of the houses being sold in Austin are to speculators, just people coming in with money. And these are these Californians that Austinites don't like, but it's
I like it. Just remember why you're leaving.
Yeah.
And let's not turn it into that.
Elon Musk said the same thing.
You take that politically or what?
The average person, keep in mind, 169 people are moving to the greater Austin area every day. There you go. Thank you, BK. The average person looking for a home in Austin has a home budget of $852,000.
Mm-hmm.
32% more than even Austinites who are trying to move. So people are coming in here with money. They got almost $1 million in cash to spend, and they're going to need it. They're going to need every bit of it because it is a bidding war. Now, here's another reason why a lot of the real estate experts don't believe this bubble is going to burst anytime soon. Go look at the Austin real estate market since the 90s. Since 1990. Yeah. The Austin real estate market has increased. The median sales price of a home in Austin has increased 350% since 1990. 350%. In the 90s, the median sales price of a home in Austin went from $71,000 to $136,000. That's a 92% increase. From 2000 to 2010, if you look at that, around the 2000s, I say 2000 to 2010, the median sales price of a home went from $132,000 to $186,000, 41% increase. From 2010 to 2020, 140% increase, from $174,000 to now we are at $455,000.
Yo.
So it is not, I mean, it has been steadily increasing in the last 30 years. And right now, only San Fran,
what am I doing sitting here? I love y'all, but
San Fran, San Diego, New York City, and Boston have higher median sales home prices. Houston and how about this? Houston, Dallas, Chicago, and Charlotte are all lower.
Wow. And
right,
Charlotte has been
Austin,
growing at an Austin-like clip.
It has been.
A lot of Cleveland, Midwesterners are moving down there.
Yeah. So basically, yeah, your median sales price of a home in Austin right now is higher than Houston and Dallas.
Well, I'm enjoying it while I can, gentlemen, because I'm going to get forced out of this town in relatively short order.
I think we all are.
Man.
I'll say this, though. For the other good thing about it is I've got family members that have bought houses in Hutto or Taylor, and you can see what their property taxes, but you can just see how all of a sudden that affects that.
Oh,
and
yeah,
all of a sudden that won't feel like Hutto like it did 20 years ago.
Yeah, no doubt.
You've seen it with Round Rock, too, where all of that stuff's going up.
Yeah, I mean, Del Valle, that's where the new Tesla plant is going to go, and they're already experiencing a bit of an uptick. Just in interest alone, and people starting to viewings and showings, mm-hmm, and I think it's going to happen, like you said, for Buda, for every surrounding community of Austin, everybody's going to continue to blow up. And I don't think the bubble is bursting anytime, so I'm not saying the bubble will never burst.
People that I know who really know what they're talking about say they don't think it will soon.
It's not bursting anytime soon. I think you still got some years of growth here, and that's scary to think because we're already the hottest real estate market in the country right now.
Great stuff, Rod. Yeah. Great stuff. Yeah, I think about Del Valle, BK. I know it's one of your big stops. I hope the landing strip doesn't go away. Because, I mean, what are degenerates going to do once they fly into Austin?
I'm going to stand my ground.
Stand your ground, brother.
Right there at the landing
strip. It's good for strip clubs.
Good
strip
stuff.
Clubs like this boom happening.
Oh, yeah. Rod's real estate.
You got cash.
You got cash. You
straight cash,
right,
homie. Rod's real estate rant of the day here on the Triple Option with RBKD. When we return, we are officially less than 24 hours away from Austin FC. We'll preview their inaugural match next.
If we make it through December,
a little more than 20 minutes.
Everything's going to be all right.
It's almost done, man. You got 20 minutes left.
That's what I was trying to say. Didn't get that far.
It's Friday, man. Just let it happen.
20 minutes remaining.
That's it.
In a Friday edition of the Triple Option with RBKD. Mm-hmm. Alongside Rod Babers and Kevin Dunn, I'm BK Brad Kellner. In our next segment, we'll tell you what's on tap. We'll also preview Texas baseball. The Longhorns taking on Abilene Christian. The first of a three-game weekend set starts tonight. Pre-game at 6:15, first pitch at 6:30. Of course, you can hear that game right here on the Horn. You'll be able to hear all three Texas ACU baseball games here on the Horn this weekend. Rod B., tomorrow at 5 o'clock.
That's right.
It's official. Austin, Texas, USA America.
It's on the DVR, baby.
Is a pro sports town.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful thing.
Where are you watching the game?
I'm going down to the coast because my mom's birthday is tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
So I'll be watching down there. Unfortunately, I shouldn't say unfortunately.
Happy birthday to mom.
I'm excited to see my mom. I'm excited to celebrate her birthday. The whole fam's going to be down there. It's going to be awesome. But there are so many watch parties throughout Central Texas for this inaugural match tomorrow.
True.
I'm a little bummed that I won't be a part of any of those, but those are going to happen all season long, so I'll get my fix.
Got lots of time.
Hanging out with the people, with the crazy soccer fans of Austin FC. But yes, 5 o'clock tomorrow, Austin FC at LAFC. It's a nationally televised game. It's going to be on Fox.
Yeah, they got a triple header, right?
Mm-hmm.
To kick off
triple header on Fox. So MLS actually opens up its season tonight. So a few teams play tonight, but most of the teams, most of the clubs will open up tomorrow, including Austin FC. And yeah, nationally televised. Not FS1, not Fox Sports Southwest, but actual Fox. It's going to be a tough one, though, guys. LAFC, the betting favorite to win the MLS Cup in 2021.
Get it loaded.
And how about this? LAFC is a recent expansion team. They've only been an MLS club for 3 years, but since they entered the league, no team has won more games or scored more goals than LAFC. Now, the big knock on them, they've choked in the playoffs. They're like the LA Clippers. They haven't been able to get it done come postseason time. They only have one playoff win despite all of the success that they've had in the regular season, but they've got some dudes, Rod B. This is a tall task. Now, we talked to Glenn Davis earlier, and he said, look at this as an opportunity. If Austin goes out there tomorrow and plays well and pulls off the upset on the road against the favorites to win it all, then we know this team is legit, and they've got a shot to do some good things this year.
No, I agree. It's a great measuring stick, right? It's a great way to measure us up against the best. But Diego Rossi, who won the Golden Boot in 2020, so he's an elite performer. He talked about Carlos Vela, the former MVP, so he's elite as well. Yeah, I'm just actually excited about watching those guys because I know they're some of the best players in the world, but also watching the way to see the Austin FC and see how they measure up. If they can actually play with LAFC and be competitive, not saying it means they're going to make the playoffs or be a really good team, but I think it is a good omen for them if they can compete with LAFC, because, and this is a team that in the last 28 home games, I think they're 20. They've won 20 wins out of their last 28 home games. So
how many draws?
it's a good one. I don't know. I didn't do the research on the draws. I'm just talking about the wins, but it's a good point.
That's a lot of wins.
Yeah, you're right. Draws are a big part of it. I can get to wrap my brain around that.
I know.
That draws are going to be a part of this thing. But yeah, I think it's a great test for Austin FC.
I'm just excited just to see kind of how athletic they are. And it does feel like with the 4-3-3, just the type of approach they're going to have, that they are going to be an attacking team. And for me, where I'm at with my soccer knowledge, which is not great, I think that's going to help out a lot of us that are just going to be watching and rooting for them because they're Austin. And then it's the same thing as if you're not really into baseball and you're watching this Texas baseball team as opposed to a team that's sacrificing and winning a lot of 3-2 games. So I don't know how competitive they're going to be, but I do think their style is going to fit early on here.
I'm giving the people some MLS betting advice.
Uh-oh.
Do it.
We haven't even played a match yet.
Should you be doing that?
The season hasn't even started yet.
Do it.
This might be a Bucky Godbolt 5,000 unit play.
Okay. Well, don't do
so
that.
It's going to miss then?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Or just take the opposite.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I hope the opposite doesn't happen. I'm saying bet the over tomorrow, gentlemen.
Okay.
Both teams like to score, and the biggest question, I think, for each club is at goalkeeper. I'm not entirely sure who Austin FC's starting goalkeeper is going to be tomorrow.
Mm.
They played 3 preseason games, and they had 2 goalkeepers start last week. I don't know if there has been a decision made just yet on who the starter is going to be. And then meanwhile, for LAFC, that's their big weakness too. They gave up a ton of goals last season. They were bottom 5 in the league in terms of goals against. So both of these teams have some skill up front. You mentioned Diego Rossi. They've got Carlos Vela as well. Austin FC has some studs. Cecilio Dominguez, Tomas Pochettino, some guys who can put the ball in the net. I think we're going to have some goals tomorrow, which is a great thing. Like, I think that excites the casual soccer fan, yep. or at least the person who's trying to become the casual soccer fan, or at least just the casual Austin FC fan.
So the three of us?
And, well, I'm all in, dude. I'm all in.
But you don't know a ton of soccer. You don't know a lot of soccer.
I do know a lot of soccer. I just don't like it that much.
Okay, well, there you go.
I would say BK actually knows his soccer.
Yeah, I've watched a lot of it just because so many of my friends
but
growing
it's the
up
interest.
Have made me watch it. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, now that it's in Austin, like, I'll be watching it because
totally
it's,
get it.
It's Austin.
He's yep. like Bucky. Bucky doesn't like soccer.
Bucky knows soccer.
Yeah, but he doesn't necessarily like it. He
right.
knows it because of yeah. his son and he's and his daughter, I think, was yep. also big in soccer. So he's been immersed in it and been almost yeah. forced to be educated on it. But I don't know if he loves it, but now it almost helps him, the fact that he had been immersed
right.
in it for so
Both
long.
Both those guys are like two out of the three of my last relationships. I knew him well, I just didn't like him towards the end. But I knew him.
That happens a lot, actually. Yep. More often than you think.
I know you. I just don't like you.
No, that's why you don't like him.
Yeah.
You got to know him.
We're going to be leaning on BK here. But I'm excited. I'm excited about just to get into it. One thing I'll say is that I really got into it in Spain. And one thing I realized over
the
there.
The chicks at the game were hot.
A little bit. A little
you know
bit.
A lot of bit.
A little bit. Yeah. A lot of bit. Or at the pub.
That's why I like hockey in Detroit. I mean,
the
yeah.
bar that we go to, right? But it was very obvious, even from my untrained eyes, how much better they were really at controlling the ball. Hmm. And, MLS, I'm just hoping that it's taken that step. It was 98, and then when the Fire won at Chicago Fire, I think it was the first year of the MLS. And it feels like it's taken that next step, but now we're 20 years later. So I'll be curious as I watch a lot more MLS. Check that as I actually watch MLS this year.
No, that's a great point because I've had this experience too because my woman loves soccer. She played soccer too. When I watch elite soccer as opposed to maybe a lower level, maybe MLS could be considered that lower level than the elite levels in the world, I think it's the creativity that
yeah.
is the difference.
It's a lot of it. The passing, controlling
right?
those
yeah,
long
exactly.
passes.
Yeah,
and
maybe
then
it's the same thing we're talking about.
And
it's just that they are more artistic. Right? With the way they play the game. It's
way
like watching
cut.
A great yeah. NBA player as opposed to watching some guy. I'm sure the European...
It's a beautiful sport, though, when they're working like
no,
that.
No, it is. But I'm just saying, like, you can tell, like, that these guys grew up playing the sport.
No
and
doubt.
Not only that, it almost reminds me of how the NBA is, where they grow up playing the sport where they're going to have their own almost spin and interpretation of it.
Yeah.
Right, as
yep.
opposed to just playing it robotically, these guys all have their own flair with soccer, that their own style of soccer,
right.
like NBA players do. They have their own style of playing
yeah.
and their own signature moves and stuff. And I don't see that as much in the MLS level. But like I said, haven't watched as much either.
I haven't either.
I will claim my ignorance.
Figure it out.
There are some guys on both clubs that could play in professional leagues overseas.
Cecilio,
okay.
mm-hmm. Cecilio is one of them. I mean, Rossi and Vela for LA are. Two of the best players in MLS.
Yeah,
those guys can hold their own overseas. So
yeah.
there's going to be some talent
cool.
on the pitch tomorrow in Los Angeles. 5:00, gentlemen, on Fox. Austin FC's inaugural match. We'll talk about it on Monday. Hopefully the boys can get 3 points to start off their first season. It's the Triple Option with RBKD. Man, KD's so excited for the match. He just left. He ran out of the room. That's how pumped he is. When we come back, we will tell you what's on tap, and we'll set the stage for Longhorn Baseball next.
Pop a top again.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash your mouth?
Oh, yeah. You know, I've been known to drink a beer or two.
I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if you can have a bottle of suds. It's only my opinion, sir.
I got beer.
I got bottled breast milk.
Why don't we start with the beer?
Okay.
It's 5:00 somewhere. Wait, it's already 5:00 here. It's time for What's on Tap.
How about a nice cool drink?
That is really
man,
good.
That is good. That is...
Pop a top again.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. This is actually the last segment of the Triple Option with RBKD, a truncated edition of the Triple Option. We are done early, but Texas baseball coming up next, as BK calls it, the... Texas basketball revenge tour except by the Texas baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
They continue. They knocked off Nevada with their last two games and now hoping to get some revenge for Abilene Christian's upset win over the men's basketball team. Sorry to bring up old wounds like
old
that.
Old wounds? You kidding me?
Yeah.
I haven't had a loss that felt that good since a football game in Lawrence.
Well, I got to tell you, considering what Texas men's basketball is doing right now and the role they're on, matter of fact, we got breaking news. I think everybody's happy. About that upset win at Abilene Christian.
I believe I came in the next day, or whenever it was, the next show, and said, guys, I hate to be like that, but I'm pretty excited about this.
Yeah, it's like that breakup you have, and then somebody tells you, oh, man, it's going to be the best thing that ever happened to you. And you don't believe it at the time.
You get fired from your job.
And you go, dude, it's going to be the best thing that ever happened to you. You go, man, shut up. I just got fired. I'm going to go get drunk. Turns out 3 years later, you're like, that was the best thing that ever happened to me, getting fired from that lame job.
And I'm glad I got drunk that night.
Well, that's Texas basketball and Texas fandom now that Chris Beard has taken over.
We've got breaking news. Chris Beard has just picked up another commitment.
Not someone I mentioned.
This one coming from the transfer portal.
Man.
Somebody we talked about a couple of hours ago. He is Christian Bishop,
transferring in
from Creighton. He originally said he was going to make his announcement tomorrow. But I guess he felt so damn good about it, he wanted to announce it today. He tweeted out a graphic of him photoshopped in a Texas jersey with the caption, hashtag Hook 'em.
Wow.
So Christian Bishop, who averaged 11 points, 6.5 rebounds for Creighton last year, a good Creighton team that made it to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, the Plantation Creightons.
Of the tournaments.
Oh, that's what the coach had said he didn't want nobody to leave the Plantation.
I know.
I believe they are still the Blue Jays. I don't think they have changed to the Plantations just yet.
No.
Cannot confirm or deny whether or not that is going to happen in the future. But Christian Bishop, a 6'7 slashing forward, who ranks second in Creighton history in field goal percentage, by the way, is coming to Texas. So Chris Beard, once again, adding to this Longhorn roster. Third get out of the transfer portal. That is the fifth addition this week. I'll call Andrew Jones and Jace Fabris additions because we weren't sure if they were going to be back next season. So five players added to the Longhorn basketball roster in the span of 5 days. Not too shabby, Katie.
No, this is great. I would love to see Groves jump in. We talked about the A&M and the Oklahoma kid earlier who are in the transfer portal. As we've all said, this was never going to be a better year to go to a depleted roster as a new coach, and you got to rebuild. Because usually that rebuild at least takes 1 year to be able to show your style, like Vic Schaefer this year. He was left some good stuff, got him to an Elite Eight, but you still had this huge class that was going to be coming in. Rod, these guys are coming in right away.
Yeah, it's this transfer market is just insane. Travis Branham, who keeps up with it for 24/7 Sports, this was just yesterday, so of course every day I think it's increasing by probably 100 or so. The transfer men's basketball number was at 1,369 players in the transfer portal.
Nice.
That was 730 were in the transfer portal at this time last year. So, man, it's unbelievable what's happening.
It really is.
And like I said, it's probably close to 1,500 now. I think it's getting close to like 100-something or something per day.
Yeah, Christian Bishop is a good player. Guys, he chose Texas over Kansas and North Carolina.
Yeah.
And birdies were telling me to expect Kansas to be the pick, and Chris Beard was able to reverse course.
So in this world of all players get everything, you guys are seeing how this probably isn't sustainable if we do this every year?
Right.
Okay.
It's going to be tough. It's going to be hard to do.
We saw it in baseball 15 years ago, but this country doesn't like to learn from experiences. So
no, we don't.
We'll take advantage of it right now. I'm not complaining as a Texas fan because the Longhorns need this. This is how they have to fill their roster for next season, and Chris Beard is doing a damn good job. I didn't think there was any way this roster could be more talented next year than it was this year. It might happen, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
And who knows? We didn't even talk about Jericho or...
He ain't done.
God, this is great. Mm. This is great. All right, that's going to do it for us. We do have Texas baseball coming up next. Texas and ACU, Abilene Christian, as BK has accurately pointed out. Little payback, Mr. Golding. I don't care if you're at UTEP. We actually really appreciate it. Thanks. We wouldn't be having this type of offseason without that. That'll do it for us. We'll be back next week. Don't forget, get the Horn app. Get to hornfm.com. Check out all the cool Saturday shows, including Tyler's show tomorrow at noon. He's going to have Hodges Mitchell on. For Rod, for BK, I'm Kevin. Y'all have a great night, great weekend. Peace.